All right, I will say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning. Sure to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors, the families who dedicate all the Shirman Droshos for the month of Adar Aleph, Mrs. Selma Wolf, with immense gratitude for the refuah from Hashem and the merit of a refuah shlema for all of those in need, in the schus of our brave soldiers, and in merit Hashem, the return of our hostages, the Schwartzbaum family, in memory of Rabbi Aaron Schwartzbaum, Aaron Yosef Ben Meir, Zichron Livracha, the Ziv, Levine, and Berman families, in memory of William Ziv, Zev Shmuel Ben Yisrael, Zichron Livracha, and our week of learning sponsors, Paul and Kathy Pollack, in the schus of refuah shlema for Mr. Jack Levy, Yaakov Ben Ita Leah, and Ira and Miriam Grossman, in celebration of their first anniversary of making Aliyah. Incredibly beautiful. Wow, beautiful.
Good morning.
I'm sorry. Maybe just turn up the volume a little bit. Thank you. Matt, thank you for that kind reminder. Thank you for that.
Yes.
All right, well, thank you. Better? All right. Thank you. Good morning again. Good morning. Have a great day. All right, if you don't get the joke, you weren't here for daf on Sunday. That's the bottom line. Yeah. All right, so let's begin. So we are picking up. Today's daf is daf Ches, page 8. We are picking up Emir Sashem on Zayin Aviz. We have a lot to do today. Some really fascinating Gemaras. Amar Rabbi Elazar. So let's see, we are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18 lines up from the bottom. Let's say, what is really incredible, by the way, is that, again, not that we're far into the Masechta, we're only 8 blot into the Masechta. What's really incredible to see how we still are trying to go ahead and figure out the parameters, the intricacies, and the nuances of Shnayim Ochzin Batalis. It's just incredible. We'll say, sometimes, again, even just getting through the first couple of words of the Mishnah is in and of itself a beautiful level. The Summer of Elazar, so we'll say, and again, what we're beginning to see is a number of kinds of offshoots of that case that sound at first similar, but each of them having their own unique applications and nuances as well. So Amar Belazar, Machlokes b'shishneim adukim b'tofes u'shneim b'tarf. So if you remember again, in yesterday's daf, we saw the very interesting case of Reuven and Shimon who walk into Beis Din, each of them holding on to a shtar. So what's talacha? Talacha was, yachloku. Now remember, in that, I shouldn't simplify it like that. We had a major machlokes, right? So remember again, what's happening is Reuven the lender says it was my shtar and I dropped it, right? And so I never received payment, so give it back to me. Shimon the borrower says it was my shtar. There was, remember, everyone over here is molded that the transaction occurred. But Shimon is saying I paid back the money already. And the truth is that's my document. It was my receipt. So again, we had a whole machlokes about what do you do with that document. So we saw multi-way machlokes with that. So I will say, but one of the opinions was essentially yachloku, that it's like it's no different than a shneim ochzin betalis case. So remember again, we had nuances in that case. Is the document certified? The document not certified? Do people leave debts unpaid? We saw all those nuances. So now comes along Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says all of this whole machlokes about what to do with the shtar is only b'shishneim adukim betofes u'shneim betorath. So we'll say this is only when, essentially, they're both holding on to both parts of the shtar. Now remember, again, back to our Gittin days, a shtar has a tofes and a toref. A tofes is like the boilerplate part of a document, right? The wording that every single document has. And then, of course, there's the toref. The toref contains the name of the parties involved, the date, and the specific transactional information. Again, and this is true, that terminology you will find with all shtaris, all contracts, all documents. So says Rabbi Elazar, the machlokis is only when both of them are holding on to the tofes and both of them are holding on to the toreth. Aval echad aduk betofes, ve'echad aduk betoreth. So we'll say, essentially, Rabbi Elazar is saying is like this. When's the machlokis about what do you do with a found shtar like this, right? Where the lender and the creditor both walk into base and holding it. That's when essentially they're both physically holding on to the same parts of the shtar. Obviously not literally the same parts, but they're both holding on to the tofes, they're both holding on to the toreth. However, what happens in a situation of al-echad aduk betofes ve-echad aduk betoreth? So what happens though? Reuven walks in, right? Reuven's holding on to the tofes, the boilerplate part of the shtar, and Shimon's holding on to the toreth. So then what's the halacha? Zen not al tofes ve-zen not al toreth. So ultimately, again, Reuven will take the tofes and Shimon will take the toreth. Now, what's that? Now, what is what now? Just to understand what is the Gemara saying? What is Rabbi Elazar saying? So Rabbi Elazar said, what else were we introduced to in yesterday's daf? In yesterday's daf, we were introduced to the idea that when you walk into Beis Din holding something and two parties are both holding on to it, what's the halacha? Whatever you're holding on to is yours. Right? Remember again, that's why we redefined the case in the Mishnah of Shnaim Ochsim Batalis. Bless you. Shnaim Ochsim Batalis was what? Two people essentially holding on to the edge of the garment, right? Reuven's holding on to one edge, Shimon's holding on to a different edge, and that's why, again, that's the Achloku case. But in general, when you walk into Beis Din and two people holding on to the same item, whatever is in your hands, that's yours, and the rest, right? The rest is Yachloku. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar is just giving an application of this over here by the loan document. So let's just plug this in, and then we're going to move on. Right? So Reuven, the lender, walks in clutching the loan document together with Shimon, the borrower. Right? Reuven says, it's mine, and Shimon owes me the money. Shimon says, it's mine, and I already paid back Reuven. So Rabbi Elazar says, the whole machlokes is only when they're both holding on to the same part. But if one's holding on to the toface, one's holding on to the toref, essentially, each party gets whatever they're holding on to. They were saying that what that practically means, like what does that mean you get the toface, the toref? So we'll talk about that in just a moment. Rabbi Yochanan says, no. The olim cholkin afilu echad adar petofes, echad adar petoref. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that's not the way it works. When it comes to a document, they will say, we can't get that specific to see, you know, you're holding on to toface, you're holding on to toref. Rather, the halacha is, when two people are clutching the document, the halacha is, yachloku, we split it. Okay, so let's analyze this a little bit. So the Gemara says, "Vatanya, zenot ad makom shodu magas." So I, Rabbi Yochanan, one second. What do you do? So both say, as much as we don't understand what it means to split a document, and we don't understand what it means that one party gets a toface, one party gets a toref, what we do understand is Rabbi Lazar's conceptual framework. And what's his conceptual framework? Whatever you're holding on to is yours. Rabbi Yochanan seems to reject that framework. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, how can you reject that framework? We already established that almost like as fact in yesterday's daf. So what's going on? Lotzricha dekai toref beimitzi. So let's see, what's the case? The case is the way the document is written is the toref itself is in the middle. Toref is in the middle. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan would be saying, cholkin. The Gemara says, Ihachi, if that's the case that the toref is in the middle, and Rabbi Yochanan is saying cholkin, and Rabbi Yochanan says, if it's in the middle, what's the assumption? The assumption is that neither party is holding on to it. So okay, so that means cholkin. If that's the case, Ihachi, my remember, what's the chiddush over there? Lotzvichad mekarv legabi dechad. Both say, this is reminiscent of the cloak with like the line of golden fabric from yesterday's daf. We'll say, what's the chiddush in the case? The chiddush in the case is that the toref, although neither is holding onto it, the toref is in the middle, the toref, let's say, is slightly closer to Reuven, or whatever, closer to Reuven than it is to Shimon. So, Ma'azatim, what would you have thought? Amrlei plog hachi. I saw right, Reuven ketaina, look, the halach is yachloku, split the shtar mamish in the middle, and therefore the toref comes to my side. So, kamash malan, the amrlei maichazis, the palgis hachi, palagachi. We'll say, just like we saw with the cloak, with the gold in the middle, or as well say, when we split it, essentially what we do is we do an equitable split, ultimately, of the item. So too, we'll do an equitable split of the shtar as well. Okay, so we'll say, we still have to analyze this a little bit more. So amrlei ravachim, difti ravino, so Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar, sorry, do amre zenot al tofes, vizenot al toref, lamali, v'chi latzrapitz luchis utzarech. So we'll say, so let's go back for just a second, right? So we had Rabbi Elazar saying, let's go back, right? So Reuven and Shimon walking to Beis Din, each of them clutching a loan document, right? Reuven's the lender, Shimon's the borrower. And what happens? Reuven says, it's my document, and Shimon owes me the money. Shimon says, it's my document, I paid back Reuven, and this document effectively is my receipt. Is my receipt. So we'll say, so now, what does Rabbi Elazar say? Rabbi Elazar says, ultimately, again, zenotel, or Rabbi Yochanan says cholkin. So we'll say. So the Gemara says, what are you splitting over? I don't understand. You're taking a document and you're gonna cut it in half. Is that what we're saying? What value of that? What value does that have? The Gemara says, literally, what can you use it for? A bottle stopper. So is that what we're talking about here? So split the document. So that each party has a cork. Like that's a bottle stopper. What are we doing over here? To which the Gemara says, Amar Lei, no, the dummy. So we'll say, the Gemara says it, no, when we talk about splitting a document, what we're doing is split over here, cholkin means value. We split the value of the document. The Amar Hachi started the Isbezman, because we'll say, what does this mean? So especially we'll say in a case where one is holding on to the toe-face, one is holding on to the Torah. So, so now you can appreciate this a little bit. A document that, for example, doesn't have, well, let's see. The toe-face and the Torah themselves have different values. How so? Take a look at the Gemara. Listen to this. Amrlei, the Amr Haki, Shtar the Isbezman, Kama Shavi. Supposed to say, so remember again, a document that has a date, how much is it worth? Videles Bezman, Kama Shavi. Versus a document that doesn't have a date, how much is that worth? Bishtar the Isbezman, Gai Mushabadi. Because if a document has, supposed to say, if a document doesn't have a date, the one thing you can't do is what? You cannot collect from encumbered property. Why? Because there's no way to prove that the transaction occurred before the sale of the real estate. So it's interesting. No date doesn't necessarily invalidate the shtar, but it definitely goes ahead and erodes the power of the shtar to be used as a vehicle of collection. The idach lo gavi mishabadi. Furthermore, again, you can't use it to collect from the chasam mishabadi, right? So the Gemara says yoivle heich the beni beni. So the Gemara says. Therefore, the Gemara essentially answers, that's what it means. When we speak about yachloku by ishtar means that we split the value. And I will say, now we can also appreciate that there's a difference in the value of the toface versus the difference in the value of the toref. Essentially, I will say, if you're the guy, if let's say Shimon, and you're holding, I don't remember who said, no, Reuven was holding on to the toface, right? So if Reuven's holding on to the toface, so I will say, does he have a valid shtar? He does. But he's missing a lot of critical information that would erode the effectiveness of the claim. So what's the value? What's the difference in the value between the shtar with the toref? Difference in the value of the shtar with a toref? What's the difference between a shtar that has zman, that can collect from encumbered property? You kind of put this all into the mix, and that's how you determine the financial split of the shtar. Good. So we'll say, so we're being introduced to like many new concepts along the journey, right? So far we'll say, again, this Gemara reiterated the concept that when two parties walk into Beis Din and each of them are clutching something, whatever is within your hands, right, that's yours. Obviously, it's not true in every single case. But in our cases that we're dealing over here, whatever is in your hands, that belongs to you. Right now, what's what we're being introduced to? That when we say yachloku, yachloku does not mean a literal physical split. What does yachloku mean? A split of the value. Now, we'll say, now watch this. Yachloku navi de amr l'dami. So we'll say, by the way, what about our Mishnah? What about our Mishnah, right? Shnaim ochsin betalis. Right? Ze omer ni mitzasiyah v'kula shali. Ze omer ni mitzasiyah v'kula shali. Yachloku. So the Gemara says, by the way, Yachloku of our Mishnah also is not an actual physical split of the cloak, of the talis. But rather, what is it? It's the split of the value of the talis. The Ilo Temah, because if you don't say this, Shnaim Oksim Talis, Hachinami Depligi, Ha'af Seduha. Both say, it doesn't make any sense to actually cut the talis in half, because what happens when you cut the talis in half? You ruin the object. You're on the object. Who wants half a talis? And what is half a talis going to do for me? The Gemara says that's not necessarily true. Halo kashya, tap of ches, dechazi l'ktanin. We'll say ultimately again, no, a half a talis, half a cloak is usable. What do we call half a cloak? We call half a cloak children's clothing, right? So we'll say, so again, so the maysa, it's not that it's unusable, it's still usable. So the Gemara says, v'hada amarava, imhaisa talis mizuheves cholkin, hachanami depalgile ha'av sedua. What about the case where we spoke about the talis? Right, so again, the talis that had like the gold column running through it. So the Gemara says, we split it. So we'll say, once again, it can't mean that literally you're cutting it in half, because if you cut a garment like that in half, don't you ruin the garment? To which the Gemara says, Holokasha, Bosse Chesam Dalef 8a, three lines down, Holokasha, Dechazel Ibnei Malachim. They will say, it's common for royalty to wear like a small cloak with gold in it. So it's usable. I have a Hadis Nan, Shnaim Roch Vinagabe Behema. So I'll say, what about the case in the Mishnah where we had, right? We didn't see this case yet. Shnaim Roch Vinagabe Behema, two people riding on an animal together, right? And both claiming ownership of the animals. What's that lacha? Cholkin. So the Gemara says, now, Hachinami Depalgi. So you're going to say, you cut the animal in half. Ha'af Sedua. You're going to destroy the animal. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Torah Chazi Labasar. So look, if it's a kosher animal and you shecht it and you split up the meat, okay. Eletmeya ha'afsida. But we'll say if it's a non-kosher animal, then what exactly are you going to accomplish by splitting it? To which the Gemara says, Ela l'dami, hachinami l'dami. So we'll say we're being introduced now to a new halachic reality. That when we speak about splitting the animal, we'll say, what does splitting mean? What does splitting mean? Value. And I will say, now the Gemara has effectively proven that that is true for all of our cases. everything now going back halacha lemaisa. So chol, we go all the way back. Shnayim ochas and batalis. The halacha of cholkin is that we still divide. I was saying, obviously, I just want to point out, it goes without saying, like, if the parties say, like, no, we literally both want, cut the cloak in half, okay, just cut the cloak in half, that's fine. Whatever the parties agree to, that's fine. But in general sense, cholkin always means sell the item, and split the proceeds of the item. Incredible. So, Amrei Rechama. Okay, so what's this? So now, these Gemara's are very exciting, like new concepts every single day. Amrei Rechama. So, what's this? Amrei Rechama comes along and he introduces the following concept, which we are going to spend a significant amount of time discussing. Watch this. Zosomeris. So Rabbi Yochanan says, based on what we have learned, I'm going to read Rashi in just a moment. When you lift something up for your friend acquires the object. Okay, so what's going on here? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Zosomeris, top Rashi, Chesem Dalev, Masnisin diktoni shnayim shegbiu mitzia kanu viachloku. So we'll say, so remember again, let's go back to the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah says, Reuven and Shimon walk into Beis Din. We'll say, and remember again, what's the Metzias of the Mishnah? The Metzias of the Mishnah is, Reuven and Shimon both picked up the object, right? So we're talking about, assuming the Reisha. We'll say, okay, well, right now, Shnayim Oksim Batalis, we're assuming, right, Zomer Ani Mitzashia, that's a case of Aveda, right, or Metzia, right? They're both finding an object, they lift it up, and they're both claiming ownership over that object. Okay, so now back to Rashi. We'll say, now watch this. This is actually fascinating. An interesting fact when it comes to Hagbah. We'll say, remember, Hagbah, lifting an object, is one of the vehicles, one of the mechanisms of a kinyan through which you could acquire an item. In order to acquire something through Hagbah, the entire object must be lifted up. If the entire object is not lifted, Hagbah does not work. So we'll say, now watch this. So therefore, in this case over here, right, Reuven and Shimon are both lifting up a talis. Now, Reuven's lifting up part of it, and Shimon's lifting up part of it. Neither party is lifting the entire talis. And yet, what's the halacha, Rabosai? What's the halacha? The halacha is we view Reuven as the owner and Shimon as the owner. Again, now we view it as there's the possibility of simultaneous ownership because if it's a Metzia, they lifted it up at the same time. And what's the halacha? Yachloku. They both say, now the only way that Reuven could own it and Shimon could own it is how? Is if when Shimon lifted it up, he had a mind for Reuven. And when Reuven lifted it up, he had a mind for Shimon. Because otherwise, they both say, neither Reuven nor Shimon did an actual Hagbah. It's just fascinating. I know when you say it, it's totally counterintuitive because both of them are claiming complete ownership over the object. Yet, get ready for this, neither of them have the ability to own it without the other. Because halacha l'maisa, they're both claiming ownership through Hagbah. Hagbah only works if the object is lifted up in its totality. Neither is lifting up the object in totality, but rather they need the assistance of the other. Incredible. Says Rabbi Bar Chama, Zosomeris, this teaches us. So we'll say, you hear this, by the way, and you understand also what this means. What this means on a hashkafic level as well. That I will say, a lot of times in life, we want to be magbiya things. We want to lift things up. We want to accomplish things. I will say, you can only do hagbah if the entire object is lifted. And more often than not, I am not capable of lifting the entire object by myself. I always need help. I always need others. I always need assistance. And I will say, sometimes the only way to fully actualize your goals, individual goals, communal goals, is only if we learn to work together. So we'll develop that theme a little bit more, but it's an incredible Mr. Haskin Ryan Barachamos. So let's go back there. All right, we really got to pick up the pace here. Okay, Zosomeris. Stop holding me back with all the questions. Please. So the Gemara says, Zosomeris, Hamagbia Mesil Chavero, Kana Chavero. So, right, Rabbi Rechama says, you see from here that if you pick up something on behalf of someone else, right, ultimately, that enables the first party to acquire it. So we'll say, so again, right now, I just want to point out, Rabbi Rechama, this concept is especially because, like, in an abstract, the application to our Mishnah is fascinating because here both are claiming sole ownership, yet neither could claim sole ownership without the assistance of the other. Okay, so we'll analyze a bit more. Because we'll say, if You held that when, let's say again, Reuven lifts something up on behalf of Shimon, that that doesn't work for Shimon's acquisition. So te asa zukimi shemunach al gabe karka. Vizukimi shemunach al gabe karka. Velo yikne lo lezeh, velo lezeh. Hosei, if when Reuven lifts it up, it doesn't work for Shimon. And when Shimon lifts it up, it doesn't work for Reuven. That means Reuven's lifting up half of a talis and the other half of the talis laying on the ground. And Shimon is lifting up half of a talis and the other half of the talis laying on the ground as well. And we'll say, well, it's the halacha in that case. No hagbah. Neither acquires it. So the fact, I will say, the fact that in the Mishnah, I will say, here's what's interesting. Remember, the Mishnah, from the Mishnah's perspective, in the case of Metziah, what we see when we see Reuven and Shimon walking into the Beis Din, both clutching the talus, right? Now we can put this case together. Both clutching the edges of the talus, both claiming Ani Metzasiha, the Kula Sheli, right? Right? That they're both claiming. So in Halacha, what we view this is, okay, neither is lying. They both found the object at the same time, lifted the object at the same time, simultaneous ownership, and the only way for both of them to have a complete hagbah and to be the actual owners. I will say, in halacha, we could view Reuven as the complete owner and Shimon as the complete owner. The difference just is their sole ownership devolved upon the cloak simultaneously, which could happen. And therefore, in halacha, the only resolution we could possibly have is to split it. But obviously, it only works if when Reuven lifted it up, it worked for Shimon. Shimon lifted it up, worked for Reuven. Incredible. When you lift up, Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to see, by the way, where this halacha applies. But this is that in general, when you lift up something for your friend, ultimately, again, your friend acquires it. Incredible. So the Mishnah says, Amar Rava, the Olam, Eimu L'cha Magbia Mitzila Chavero, Lo Kana Chavero. Rava says, Maybe not. Maybe in general, again, I will say, when one party does hagbah for the benefit of the other, it doesn't work. In other words, I will say, here's the shayla. When I do hagbah, does hagbah have to be an act that is fully and solely done by me? Or could someone assist me in the act of hagbah for the purpose of conveying ownership to me? That's what's happening over here. So according to Rabbi Rachama, the answer is yes. So Reuven's lifting up a cloak to go ahead and acquire it for himself, and Shimon is assisting him in that process of ownership. And that works. And Reuven is lifting up the cloak, right, and assisting Shimon in the process of ownership. Rava says, no, we do not say that. So what's going on over here? So we say, Migo de Zach Idilaf She Zachinam de Chabre. So we'll say, Rava has a Migo. And what's his Migo? Migo, remember again, Migo means since, right? Since you have the ability to acquire it for yourself, you also acquire it for your friend. Okay, there's a Migo. So we'll say, we're going to see exactly. So that's the logic. Since you have the ability to acquire it for yourself, since you have the ability to acquire it for yourself, you also have the ability to acquire it for your friend. Okay, so take it up. So we'll say, let's analyze this a little bit more. So let's analyze. Shilu amadu shiducho say the gun of pater. We'll say, if I go to a shaliach, right? I say, Reuven, do me a favor, steal me that object. And what happens? Reuven steals me the object. What's the halacha? Pater. They will say, now who's pater? I, the mishaliach and pater. Why? Rashi points out, in shliach ledvar avera. There's no agency for the commission of sin. Yet, watch this, the shutfin sheganvu chayovin. Yet I will say, interestingly enough, when partners steal, they are both liable. Now, what's that case? So we'll say, first of all, take a look at Rashi Teda. Dafilu amar lo kana chavero, hecha digbia kulo ledas chavero, hacha digbia la'atzma u lechavero kani mishum migo. So we'll say, so this is interesting. So I just want to point out over here. Rabbi Bar Chama is saying that the concept is that two people, right? Rabbi Bar Chama is saying, hama bia l'nesi l'chavero kana chavero. Just to be clear, Reuven's lifting up an object. Reuven can't lift up the whole object. Shimon is lifting it in order to convey ownership to Reuven. That's Rami Bar Chama's chiddush, that you could assist someone else in the act of hagbah in order to convey complete ownership to him. Rava rejects that notion. Rava says that's not the way it works. If you want to do hagbah is your own thing. Hagbah is your own thing. Can't have somebody assist you in hagbah. But what does Rava say? What Rava wants to suggest is that halacha l'maisa, when you are acquiring something for yourself, by dint of acquiring it for yourself, you could also acquire it for another. almost like a piggyback act of acquisition. Whatever, if your kavana is to acquire it for yourself, you could also acquire it for your friend. The Rebbe said, now what's this last case of shutfin shegadvu? Rashi says, So imagine Reuven and Shimon conspire to steal from Levi. Right? Rabbi said, but you know, like Reuven is the brains of the operation, right? And Shimon is the muscle. Right? So what happens? So Shimon is the one who actively goes in and gets the object. What's Talach Rabbi say? Rabbi suggests they're both chayiv. Now, what's Rava's logic? My taima, lav mishum da'arminan migo de'zachi l'nafshei, zachi nami l'chavrei. Rava say, what's Rava's logic? It's a migo. What's the migo? Since when Reuven, who did I say? Shimon. When Shimon, the muscle, picks up the item, since he acquires it for himself, he also acquires it on behalf of Reuven. So that's, bless you, that's the migo. So Rava say, it's a fundamental machlokes. So here's what's interesting. I just want to point out, what's interesting, Rava say, is the result is the same, right? The result is the same, that ultimately, again, Reuven and Shimon are, quote-unquote, both the owners of the object. The machlokes is the mechanism of conveyance of ownership for both. Raya Bar Chama, it's based on the idea that each one assists the other in the hagbah, conveying full ownership to the other. You have two people who both solely own an object, which I know sounds counterintuitive or contradictory. Yachloku. Rava, no. Rava says it's amigo. Whatever you have the ability to acquire for yourself, you also could acquire for your fellow. Okay. Rava says, let's analyze this. Rava, hashada amrit amrin amigo. Now that we'll say that we say this amigo, listen to this. Chereshu pikiach shigbiu mitzio. If you have a cheresh and a pikiach, suppose it's interesting. Now remember, in general, a cheresh, a deaf mute, generally does not have kinyonim, right? Because a kinyon requires das, and a cheresh, bepashtos, doesn't have das. So the Gemara says, cheresh and pikiach shigbiu mitzio. So we'll say, now watch this case. And I have a cheresh and a pikiach who are lifting up an object. So imagine they're lifting up a talis together. They're doing hagbah together. What's the halacha? Mitoch shekana cheresh, kana pikiach. Fascinating. Now both say, okay, a little interesting fact over here. A cheresh, midrabanan, a cheresh acquires something. Right? Cheresh and ketanim, when they acquire something, midrabanan, the kinyan is effective. Why is the kinyan effective? Rashi points out over here, this is one of the halachos that were instituted in mishum darchei shalom, for the sake of societal peace. What does this mean? Both say, if people could come over to a cheresh and take stuff after he acquired it, right? Take stuff from after he acquired it, or people could take stuff from a katan, it's not nice. It's not nice. It doesn't create a sense of a proper orderly society. So therefore, Chazal said, whatever a cheresh acquires is his. Whatever a katan acquires is his. Therefore, in this case over here, a cheresh and a pikeach are lifting up an object together. And it sounds like a joke. And the rabbi and a priest walk into a bar, right? No, it's a cheresh and a shaltel, right? Cheresh and a shaltel, the cheresh and a pikeach lift up a talis together. So we'll say, now what happens? So the Gemara says, mitoch shekana cheresh kana pikeach. Since the cheresh acquires his part, so ultimately, again, the pikeach acquires his part. Now both say, so what would that be based on? That'd be based on Rava's migo. Because when the migo says, since you could acquire for yourself, you could acquire for someone else as well. Since the cheresh could acquire for himself, so therefore, again, he could acquire for the pikeach. So bishlam cheresh kana the kamak biale, then the kamak biale bendas. So we'll say, I understand why the cheresh acquires. Why? So we'll say the cheresh doesn't really acquire because of himself. Who does the cheresh acquire of? Because of the pikeach, right? When the pikeach is lifting it up, the pikeach has in mind for himself and for the cheresh. So the Gemara says, "Ela pikeach, but my kana." How is the pikeach acquiring anything over here, right? The pikeach can't acquire ownership through the cheresh. So the Gemara says, "Ela ema cheresh kana pikeach lo kana." Right? What you have to say in this case over here is that the cheresh will be kona, right? Because the cheresh really gets the piggyback on the kinyan ultimately of the pikeach. But the pikeach does not get the piggyback on the kinyan of the cheresh. Umay migo. So we'll say, what's the migo? So the Gemara says, migo v'shnei charshin ba'alma kanu ha'nami kani. So we'll say, instead the migo would have been, if two charshin, right, if two chirishes would have gone ahead and done this, then they would have acquired. So perhaps this case should also acquire. So Gemara says, hi, Mai, what should we do in this case over here? Imtim slomar hamag bia metzila chavero kana chavero. So we'll say, if we revert back to Rami Bar Chama's statement, that ultimately, again, you could do hagba on behalf of someone else. Hanimili, We'll say that's when you're lifting it up and you have kavana to assist the other in doing hagbah. Hi, adaita didei kamakbile. But we'll say in this case, each party is lifting it up for themselves. Ihu lo kani, lachrini makni. If he's not acquiring for himself, then how does he have the ability to makni to someone else? Ela ima, rather what you have to say is as follows. We'll say last of the short lines. Mitoch shelo kana pikeach, lo kana cheresh. Rather, I will say the proper ruling in this case is that when the pikeach and the cheresh lift up the object together, what you have to say is, since the pikeach is not kona, right? Because I will say the pikeach doesn't have a partner, right, to affect this hagbah. Therefore, the cheresh is not kona as well. Okay. V'chitema maishna mishnei charoshin da'alma. I'll ask, why is this case any different than the case of two cherishes who lift it up, who we say do acquire, to which the Gemara says, hasam, Takinu le rabbanon to lo asi la ansuye. It will say, remember, if you have a case of two chirishes, that case works. Why? Because it will say the rabbis felt they had to protect the chirish from exploitation, right? And we don't want people to come to quarrel. In other words, the chirish might be deaf and might be mute. It doesn't mean he doesn't know how to advocate for himself. And therefore, Allah says, if he picks up an object and someone takes that from him, he's going to fight back. Chazal don't like fighting, and therefore what did they do? They instituted that when a cherish picks something up, but that belongs to him. So that would apply in a case where you have two cherishes acquiring it together. Hacha, meima amar pikeach lo kani, ana ikni. So we'll say, so ultimately in this case, there's no fear of fighting. Why? Because as long as the cherish is afforded same treatment. So the cherish is like this. If the pikeach on the other end of this globe is not acquiring either, then I'm good. Right? If he's not acquiring, I understand, I'm being treated no differently than he's being treated. Fine. Amr Ravacha Bredrav, Bredrav Adlavashi. So we'll say, okay, so now let's go back for a moment and analyze the position. So specifically, Rami Bar Chama. So we'll say, what did Rami Bar Chama say? Rami Bar Chama said, Hamagbia Mitsia Lechavero, Kana Chavero. When you, so we'll say, remember again, Hagbah requires a total lifting of the object. In a case where I cannot lift the object fully by myself, and Reuven comes along and assists me in lifting up the object, that works to affect my acquisition. Right? Even though I did not do the sole hagbah, when Reuven is assisting me in my hagbah for the purpose of me acquiring ownership, that works. Where did Rami Bar Chama get that from? Diyuka, Rami Bar Chama Mehecha. Where's his diyuk from? Where did he find that concept? So the Gemara says, so maybe he got it from Shnaim Oksim Metalis. Hasam Hai Kamar Kula Shali Va'ana Agba Asa Kula. It's like another twist in this case. The Gemara says, no. He'll say, maybe the case in Mishnah means like this. Reuven and Shimon walk in. And Reuven says, right? They both say, Shnaim Oksim Metalis, Zomer Animis Aseva Kula Shali. He'll say, maybe what they mean is like this. Reuven says, I found it. I lifted it up all by myself. And then Shimon, this chutzpahdik, right? Shimon, this chutzpahdik guy, went ahead and grabbed it out of my hands. So in other words, we were presupposing that Shnayim Oks and Metalis meant that they were helping each other with Hagbah. The Gemara says, maybe not. How do you know? Well, say, in other words, all we know is that they're coming into Beis Din. And right now, you know, we'll say, there's a concept in Halacha of Ein Ledayin Ladun and Lamashe Ein of Rose. You can only adjudicate a case based on what you see in front of you. So we'll say, so remember again, in this case, when Reuven and Shimon walk in, what do we see? What do we see? Two guys, each holding on to the edge of a talus. There's no eidos, there's nothing else, and they're both claiming it's all mine. So as far as we know, Reuven saw it first, picked it up, fully picked it up by himself. Shimon grabbed it up, maybe, or not. So I'm saying, you can't assume that this is a case of where they assisted each other with Hagbah. So the Gemara says, Elameha, so where's Rami Bar Chama getting? Where's Rami Bar Chama getting his position from? Elameha, Diktani, Ze Omer Kula Shali, Ze Omer Kula Shali. We'll say, so why do you need that extra phrase? Hasu Lamali, we spoke about this before. Right? Why do I need that extra phrase? In other words, all I need is the phrase, Ani Mitzasiya, why do I need Kula Shali? So this must be the source where Rami Bar Chama learns. Maybe this Kula Shali is talking about this case where Reuven helped Shimon with Dagbah. Shimon helped Reuven with Dagbah. And that's why they both, quote unquote, own the object. To which the Gemara says, no. No, we already spoke about this. It's only this, like, back on Daf Gimel already. Right? I remember it's two cases in the Mishnah. Ze omer ani mitzasiha is a case of both of them finding a lost object. Vikula shali is a case of what? Mekach u'memkar, where they both bought an object simultaneously. So it's not extra. Elam yisefa. So Masi is coming from the end of the Mishnah. Ze omer kula shali, v'ze omer chetzia shali. So I'll say, remember again, back to our first Mishnah. Right, Reuven says the whole object belongs to me. Shimon says half belongs to me. Hasulamli, but say again, why do I even need this case in Mishnah? So again, all that's happening over here is Rami Bar Chama. Excuse me, Rami Bar Chama is desperately searching for a source in the Mishnah for his halacha. That's all. That's what we're looking for over here. We just need to find the source. That's it. Where could we find it? Where could we find in the Mishnah this extra phrase that teaches me hamagbia lechaver kana chaver? So maybe it's that last case. Tosh Gemara says no. Or we might be mitzia zolamakachu memkar. Maybe that case in the Mishnah is not talking about a lost object or a found object. It's about a case of a sale. The chitema iba mekachu memkar ma'ila memra. But if you're going to say it's a mekachu memkar case, okay. So we already covered that in the second case in the Mishnah. Right, first case the Mishnah is anime sasiya. Second case the Mishnah is kula shali, and that's a case of a sale. Then why do you need a second case dealing with a sale? Tishnas, I'll tell you. Gemara says itzrich sarai tchanina haydikamer chesia shali. Supposed to listen to this. When right, remember again in that second part of the Mishnah, what we call the seifa now. Right, Reuven comes along and he says the entire object is mine. Shimon says half of the object is mine. Half of the object is mine. So we'll say I might have thought that in that case, Shimon should be able to collect his half without an oath, right? Why? He should be viewed as Meshav Aveda. Remember, we had this term 2 days ago. What does Meshav Aveda mean? Meshav Aveda means when you make a claim that essentially you didn't have to make. You could have made a stronger claim. You're making a weaker claim, which essentially makes it as if you're returning a lost object. So Meshav Aveda is kind of like the colloquial expression for doing someone a favor, right? So when Shimon only claims half of it, to a certain degree, he's almost like doing a favor. How so? The Gemara says, why? So the Gemara says, come on, Valifta, why? Because we'll say, watch this. Technically, he could have claimed what? He could have claimed what? Kula Shali. He could have claimed Kula Shali. And what would have happened if he claimed Kula Shali? What would have happened? He would have gotten half. Now he's only claiming half. So maybe he should have be able to get his half or to be able to get his quarter, right? Whatever he's going to get without a shavua. Kamash malon da hai irumi kama arem. No, but say he's not Meshav Aveda. Why not? Because if you let him have a portion without a shavua, this is an easily exploitable circumstance. Why? Because he could say what savar iamina kula sheli ba'ina ishtabui. So if I claim half of it is mine, I'm going to have to take a shavua. Say mahachi. So let me just claim half of it is mine. I guess it was, you know, the great part about half of it is mine. That was going to have the havikaf Meshav Aveda. I'd be like the hero. Oh, such a tzaddik, he could have claimed more, right? This is me, chapter 24 in my biography about the time that I had a machlokas and I was mevater and I didn't want this and I can get away with getting a portion of something that's not mine without a shvua. Therefore, Rabosai, elamiha. So again, Rabosai, remember again, let's keep focused. We're trying to find the source for Rami Bar Chama's position. Elamiha. Hayu shnaim rochvin agabi behima. So I'll say, remember again, this is actually the next Mishnah. Two people, Reuven and Shimon, are both riding on an animal, right? And Reuven says, it's all mine, and Shimon says, it's all mine. Okay? So we'll say, so now what? So the Gemara says, so, in the, what's the halacha? The halacha is Yachloku. So the Gemara says, why do I need that case? It's the same, in other words, what does it matter if they're riding on a donkey or they're fighting over a talus? So which means, Ella, mi Mishnah yisera shmamina. Rather, I will say, it must be that this extra case comes to highlight Rami Bar Chama's concept that Hamagbia Metzia Lechavero Kana Chavero. So it says Shemamino Hamagbia Metzia Lechavero Kana Chavero. Okay. V'dil Mahakam Ashlan Derochiv Nami Kani. I will say maybe no. Maybe the next Mishnah, the next case, come to teach you a new halacha. I will say that what? That riding an animal is a form of kinyan. Right? Maybe that's a form of kinyan to which the Gemara says Elam is Seifa. So let's learn from the Seifa. Bizman Shein Modin. So we'll say in a situation, ultimately again, where both parties agree, or this is the end of our first Mishnah, or ultimately again, there are witnesses, cholkin below shvua. They have the ability to split, even without a shvua. So we'll say, this is just the case of Shnei Oksim Talos. Right? So two people walk into Beis Din, and we'll say, again, Reuven and Shimon agree, we both picked it up at the same time. Or, there are witnesses, we both picked it up at the same time. So what's the halacha, Rabbosai? What's the halacha in that case? Cholkin below shvua, they can split it without a shvua. So the Rav says, B'mai, what's the case? So I'll say, if this is a case where literally, again, they both gave the money at the same time, and the purchaser accepted the money, sorry, the seller accepted for the money at the same time. So what's there to talk about? Elalav b'metzia. Rather, both say, must be talking about a case of metzia. Ushma mina hamagbia metzia lechavero kana chavero. All right, so both say, this is a truly beautiful moment. This is a beautiful moment where the universe is in perfect equilibrium. Life is exactly as it should be. The coffee is cooled down to a point now where it's easily drinkable, right? Everything, planets are in perfect alignment. Everything is perfect. I will say, here it is. Rami Bar Chama espouses a concept. Hamadbiya mitzia lechadero kana chadero. In general, I will say the way the world works is, if you want to do hagbah, how do you have to do hagbah? If you want to do hagbah, how do you do hagbah? By yourself. By yourself. A good general din in life. If you want to get something done, don't rely on others, I will say. Don't wait for other people to act. Don't wait for other people to do. You want something to happen on life, get it done yourself. Okay? What about the fact that there are times where I cannot do it myself? There are certain realities like that. Comes on Rabbi Brahma, good news. If someone else assists you in your hagbah, someone else assists you in lifting the object. And I will say again, when Reuven's assisting me in Hagbah, what's going through Reuven's mind? What's going through Reuven's mind? I have no idea what's going through Reuven's mind. Right? But the halacha tells me that again, what Reuven's kavana is, he's helping Silber acquire the object. And it works. It works. Even though, again, I will say, that's not normally how Hagbah works. If Reuven's kavana is to assist me in Hagbah, then ultimately, again, that will work. That will work. Hamagbia, metzia lechadero, kana chadero. And where does Rami Bar Chama, and I'm about to say again, where does Rami Bar Chama get this halacha from? So I'm about to say, now coming full circle, it gets from the last case of our Mishnah. What was the last case of our Mishnah? Reuven and Shimon show up in Beis Din. Right? I'm about to say, both holding the cloak. But here's the beautiful news. Reuven says, yeah, we lifted up at the same time. No machlokes. We lifted up at the same time. We saw it at the same time. We both ran to it. And Mamish, simultaneously, we both lifted up at the same time. So we'll say, so there's no machlokes here. What's halacha? Yachloku. Now, we'll say, now the only way that works is how? If when Reuven lifted it up, he had a mind for Shimon. And Shimon lifted it up, he had a mind for Reuven. Because neither could accomplish Hagbah on their own. And we'll say, so this becomes the mind for Rabbi Chama. So we'll say, a dual Mosahar skill. What's the skill number one? Is in general the way the world works. Is if you want to be magbia something, if you want to accomplish something, do not rely on other people. Get it done yourself. But when you encounter those incredible situations where something so big has to get done that you can't do it yourself, enlist the help of others. Because I will say, when you go ahead and you lift together, that's when beautiful things happen. Then the things, when you lift together, then things that you cannot lift on your own suddenly become a beautiful reality. Life is about knowing when the buck stops with you and you need to get the job done, and when you need to enlist the help of others to perform a cathartic and life-changing hagbah that creates new realities. Incredible. And what about Rava? So we'll say, poor Rava. We forgot all about Rava. Right? Rava disagrees with Rami Bar Chama. Right? And Rava said, remember again, Rava espouses the Migo idea. So what poor Rava, what does Rava do with all this? Right? You can see like Rava's like in the basement, just like, hey guys, you know, hey, like, right, remember me. So Rava said, Rama Amalakha money. So Gemara says, I'm sorry. So Amalakha Migo the Zakhidin Afshe, Zakhidan the Khabin. So we'll say, interestingly enough, here's what's fascinating. Remember, Rava says, listen, the cases are the cases. And I don't disagree with you in the result. I just hold that the mechanism is different. Right? Rava is saying this is not a case of Magbia Mitzila Chadero. Ultimately, again, this is a case of Migo. Okay, incredible. Let's go back to Hayishnaim Rochlim. So we'll say, so the Braisa quoted over here, two people riding on the animal, Yachloku. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yehuda said to me, Amar Deis, short that. Right? Shvu Shamis Minei, Timar Shmuel Tarti. We'll say we learned from our Shmuel two things. Listen to this. Rochov Umanhig. We learned two things. That if you ride an animal or you lead an animal, chad kani v'lechad lo kani. One of them affects acquisition of the animal and one does not. V'lo yidan eheminayu. But I don't remember which is which. But so you ask, why does the Gemara include a line like this? It's very validating, right? Very validating. You ever have one of those moments where I know these facts. I just don't remember exactly how to organize them. I don't remember. Someone says, again, human nature is often we lack clarity. But I will say, so a lot of times what ends up happening is when we lack clarity on something, what do we do? We pretend like we have clarity, right? So I just fake it, right? I know what I'm talking about. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm having difficulty with my kids. I'm fine. I don't need help. Having difficulty with my marriage, no problem. I got it covered. I'm struggling with my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't need any help. I've totally got this under control. So we fake it. Meanwhile, people go through their entire life literally not knowing up from down. Literally, again, not knowing one thing from the other. And when you see a line like this, the Gemara says, it's okay to lack clarity in life. All of us do. I will say, and again, the only shaila is what areas of life you lack clarity, what areas of life you have clarity, how long you're living. I will say, but strong people, confident people are able to say, you know what? I don't know which is which. I lack clarity, but again, I want to work through it. So I'll say, it's absolutely incredible. So here you have Rav Yosef. It says in the name of Rav Yehuda, Mar Shmuel taught us two things. I don't remember what he taught us. I'm unclear, so let's work through this together. Let's get clarity, Rav Yosef, on the things which we lack clarity for in life. Incredible. So, Echidami, what's the case? So, if they met a guy who's either riding an animal by himself or leading an animal by himself, so again, both of those are valid means of acquiring an animal, right? Riding an animal, leading an animal, both work. So ultimately, again, if you're going to say that maybe something doesn't acquire, it would have to be a little bit more that rachov, right? That ultimately, again, it would have to be that riding the animal maybe would be less than leading it. Here's the shaila. Reuven and Shimon are both claiming ownership over the animal. Reuven is riding it, and Shimon is leading it. Here's the shaila. Does one have a superior claim over the other? So the Gemara says, my rachov adif to hatafis bay. On one end, you can say riding the animal is a stronger claim. Why? I'll say why? Because I'll say, like, literally, he's holding on to the animal, right? Riding animal, mamish, like, I'm toughest, but I'm holding on to it. Odoma manheg adif to azla machmase. Or I would say, on the other hand, maybe leading the animal is even more important. Why? Because the ma'isa, the animal is moving as a result of me. See here the shayla. So Reuven's riding it, Shimon's leading it. Who has a superior claim? Reuven, because almost as if like he's toughest, like he's holding on to the animal, or Shimon, because he's actively, the animal is moving because of him. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar li Rav Yehuda. Next, let's analyze this. This man, Hamanik Sofik is Harbaim, Vayoshi Bekaron Sofik is Harbaim. Also listen to this. Kilayim. So much stuff going on these Dafim Bava Metzia. So remember again, you are not permitted to go ahead and literally like hitch up two different species of animals together, right? So like you can't take like a cow and a donkey, right? You can't take a cow and a donkey and hitch them to your wagon together, hitch them to your plow together. That's the issue of kilayim, right? Forbidden mixtures. So remember again, kilayim has many tentacles. There's shatnez, candle, wool, linen. There's planting different species together. And there's even the act of going ahead. I will say, here's what's interesting. Obviously, mating different species is going to be problematic. But this is not even mating, right? This is just going ahead and what? Literally hitching them to the same whatever. Wagon is one piece, but even like to the same Zach, that holds them together, right? That's good. You know, that thing, right? Whatever. Hitch them together. So let's say, so now watch this. Samanik, so think it's our boy. If you lead these animals, suppose let's use a plow in case, just to keep it easy, right? So if you go out and you have them attached to a yoke, and you lead them together, right, then the halacha is you get malchus for kilayim. But let's say I'm in a wagon, and the wagon is being pulled by these two animals. Ultimately, also, so think it's our boy. Get malchus. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir Poltres Yoshe Bekaron. So Rabbi Meir goes ahead and says that if it's pulling a wagon, you're potter. So the Gemara says, Umi Da'apik Shmuel, and Shmuel switched around the positions, Vitani, Chachamim Potrin, and he ultimately said that the Chachamim ultimately are potter. So I'm sorry, Chachamim Potrin says Yoshe Bekaron. The Chachamim say that if you're sitting in a wagon, and the wagon is being pulled by the ox and the donkey, you are not chayiv for kilayim. Shmamina Rochev Lechudei Lokani. So we'll say, see, what do you see from here? So we'll say, here's what's interesting. If you're not chayiv in kilayim for being in a wagon pulled by an ox and a donkey, what does that show you? What does that show you? That ultimately, again, that rachuv, that riding by itself, is not a valid form of acquisition. So the Gemara says, "Shema mina rachuv luchudei lokani v'kol shekein rachuv b'makom manhig." So as I say, obviously, if riding by itself is not going to be a valid form of acquisition, then halach has kama v'kama what? When Reuven is riding and Shimon is leading, who is going to be the true owner of the animal? It's going to be Shimon, the one who's leading. To which the Gemara says, only Abayi l'Rav Yosef. Shavai said to Rav Yosef, not necessarily. Hazimnin sagin amrit lan. Many times you said to us, nechse anan v'lo amrit lan mishpeit Rav Yehuda. So ultimately, again, so this is interesting. So Abayi said to Rav Yosef, Rebbe, many times you said to us, Zimnin sagin amrit lan, nechse anan, let's analyze this a little bit more. V'lo amrit lan mishpeit Rav Yehuda. Did you not tell us over our position name of Rav Yehuda? Amrli Ivra. Like I said, that is correct. And I also remember now that we said before, Hechi Pashet Mar Rachov Miyoshev. We'll say that how can you go and extrapolate the case of Rochev from sitting in a wagon? So what the Gemara just did above is the Gemara equated the case of sitting in a wagon with riding on an animal. And the Gemara says, those are not similar cases. Those are fundamentally different cases. Yoshev lo tafis b'moseira, Rochov tafis b'moseira. We'll say, what's the fundamental difference? Sitting in a wagon, you're not going ahead and holding on to the, we'll say it's the, you're not holding on to the bridle. You're not holding on. We'll say the bridle, by the way, so just to understand, like when you're leading a horse, right, there's the bit that sits in, because we're going to get into this, there's the bit that sits in the horse's mouth, and that bit is like held in place by like an entire like zach, and then that zach is attached to a strap. Those straps are what you hold on to. So holding on to that whole thing is called the bridle. Bridle, right? B-R-I-D-L-E, right? Bridle, right? So again, here's the difference. When you're riding an animal, you're holding on to the bridle. When you're sitting in the wagon, you're not holding on to the bridle. So the Gemara says, that's a fundamental difference between wagoning it and riding it. Right? So that's why, again, it could very well be that maybe, right, wagoning it, you're not going to acquire, nor are you chayvin kilayim. But riding it, Rabbi say, is a much more tangible, direct form of acquisition. Very interesting. Okay, so Rabbi say, so now we're getting into a little bit more. So here's what we know. So if we pause here for just a moment, based on our conversation up until this point, what we know is everyone seems to be agreeing, leading the animal is, of course, a valid form of acquisition. Because Rabbi say, bepashtos, we would call that meshicha, right, or mesira, depending on if it's a mesira or if it's an acquisition. And I would say the shayla is, what about riding the animal? And now, even in riding the animal, are there different forms of riding? There could be riding in a wagon versus riding on the animal itself. Now, we're assuming now that, let's say, riding in a wagon, based on what we saw by Kilayim, riding in a wagon would not be a valid form of acquisition because it's too detached from the animal. But lemaisa, what about riding on the animal itself? Bepashtos, that should acquire because you're holding on to the bridle. Now, what's the next one? Like, Rav Shmuel, Rav Tarvayu, Rav Ushmuel, Rav Tarvayu, Mosir Lokani. Rav Shmuel both said that ultimately, again, holding on to the bridle does not affect acquisition. I'm going to take a look at Rashi. Mosir Enokona, the Mitzia Achiolicheno, Vitaakor Yad Veragel. So, what's this? It's interesting. So, Aloch Lamaisa, Rav and Shmuel say holding on to the bridle itself does not affect acquisition until you actually move the animal. So in other words, getting on the animal, sitting on the animal, holding on to the bridle, does not affect acquisition. Rashi says, So what we're going to see over here is as follows. So Rav and Shmuel are saying that when it comes to a metziah, you do not acquire metziah just simply by holding on to the bridle, but rather, again, the animal has to move. So we're going to stop over here for a tale. Pick up time with the Igid Amri. What I want to sensitize you to is the following. That halacha l'maisa, what's coming out over here is as follows. So number one, we know leading an animal is a valid form of acquisition. That's number one. Number two, ultimately holding on to the animal, I should say riding the animal. So is that a valid form of acquisition or not? That remains to be seen. What we're also going to see in tomorrow's hour, I will say, is a fundamental distinction between acquiring an animal by dint of a purchase versus acquiring something from Hefker. those may also have two different forms of mechanistic acquisition. Admiration to be continued tomorrow. What a daft today, Shkoyach.